and the National Broadcasting Company. The Roundtable is an NBC public service feature. The value of the time provided for the Roundtable during its years on the network totals several million dollars. The University of Chicago pays all the operating expenses of the program. Roundtable broadcasts are seldom planned more than 10 days in advance of airtime, and scheduled programs have frequently been canceled at the last minute to permit a special broadcast on some particularly newsworthy event. Thus, when Dr. Eduard Benes, former president of Czechoslovakia, visiting professor at the University of Chicago, consented to discuss the German invasion of his country, the scheduled program was canceled and a new one planned on only 24 hours' notice. The radio office, in collaboration with interested members of the faculty, selects topics for discussion and invites qualified speakers to participate. The university has complete freedom in the determination of subjects and speakers. Roundtable broadcasts are planned in informal preliminary meetings with the speakers. Usually, these meetings take place Saturday evening. At dinner, the participants have an opportunity to become socially acquainted with each other. And after coffee, they determine upon the chief areas of the topic to be discussed and exchange facts and data to be threaded throughout their air discussion. Prior to the Saturday meeting, each participant receives a research memorandum prepared by the radio office, often in collaboration with the participants locally available, or with interested members of the University of Chicago faculty. The research memorandum includes letters from listeners on the topic, Gallup and Fortune polls data, and excerpts from relevant books and news and periodical writings. Sunday morning at the studio, the participants meet again. Typewritten copies of their outline are on the pyramidal roundtable. For perhaps an hour, they check over the outline, adding those personal notes, facts, figures, and quotations which they anticipate including in their broadcast remarks. Thereafter, the microphones are made alive, and a rehearsal recording of the broadcast is made. The rehearsal has two chief advantages. One, it introduces newcomers to the procedures of the broadcast, so that having gone through it once, they are fully at ease on the air. Two, when the rehearsal recording is played back, the participants are able to get a perspective on the broadcast as a whole. This verbal proofreading aids in planning last-minute improvements in presenting materials for the air. Roundtable tradition has outlawed the technique of debate in the organization of its broadcasts. Speakers do not face the microphone armed with a statement of their point of view, to be balanced by other statements of speakers of opposing viewpoints. The roundtable emphasizes the value of free discussion between competent authorities, who in the course of discussion either approach each other in a meeting of ideas or throw into relief the important points of conflict in their judgments. On the roundtable, a speaker's ideas are evaluated in terms of other ideas, and any statement may be challenged immediately by the other participants. Unrestricted by the limitations of script, the speakers are free to follow any new aspect of the problem which may be raised to a logical point of agreement or disagreement. Since 1938, when the Alfred P. Sloan Foundation made a grant to the University of Chicago for experimentation in educational broadcasting, the activities of the Roundtable have been greatly extended. Under the terms of the Foundation grant, the Roundtable has devoted a large number of programs to the promotion of a wider knowledge of the basic economic truths generally accepted as such by authorities of recognized standing and as demonstrated by experience. The Sloan Foundation, in making the gift, expressly stipulated that the university was to have entire control over its expenditure and decisions as to the kind of economic information and the means of its dissemination. As one result of the grant, it was possible to pay roundtable speakers for their services. The foundation support enabled the roundtable to bring a larger number of authorities of national reputation from outside the university to its steadily growing radio audience. For the first time, also, it was possible to publish the long-demanded transcripts of the broadcast. More than a million copies of the weekly discussions have been sold. Every week, 6,000 subscribers in every state of the Union and in half a dozen foreign countries receive the